Welcome to the Elite Life Church podcast. We pray this message strengthens your faith and helps equip you for living the life God created you to live. Connect with us online at elitelife.church. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word and that your word is truth. I thank you for sending the Holy Spirit to guide us into all truth. I ask that our love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that we may approve what is excellent and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. Amen. I am who the word says that I am.
I am who the word says that I am.
I do what the word says to do.
I do what the word says to do.
And I have what the word says that I have.
And I have what the word says that I have.
I choose to open my heart.
I choose to open my heart.
To receive everything.
To receive everything.
The Lord has for me today. Last week, I began teaching on hearing the voice of God. Today, I'm going to continue that message. This is not an all-inclusive teaching series on every possible way a believer can hear the voice of the Lord speak to them. I'm sharing with you ways that I've learned to hear and recognize the voice of the Lord. Last week, I shared with you a misconception that I had for a long time that I was waiting to audibly hear the voice of the Lord, and thinking I didn't hear his voice because I didn't hear him speaking to me audibly. I then realized that some of the dreams that I was having on certain things that were leading and guiding or confirming things from the Lord were from the Lord. Quite a bit later in my Christian walk, I started understanding how to actually hear the inner voice of the Lord and recognize it as the voice of the Lord and not just my own thoughts. So it made it a lot easier to recognize the difference between a thought that was my own or a thought that came from the Lord versus a thought that came from the enemy. And one of the major ways I was able to start discerning between the difference in what thoughts, inner voice, if you will, was based on the word and whether or not it lined up with the truth of the word. Last week, I shared Ezekiel 36, 26, and 27, and I will give you a new heart and a new spirit I will put within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules. That prophecy was fulfilled when Jesus came and paid the price of death on the cross for us to have relationship with God, to where he can then come into us at the new birth when we accept Jesus as our personal Lord and Savior. John 10, 27, Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, I know them and they follow me." The reason he is using that terminology when he's talking to the people is because in the Old Testament, the people of God were referred to as the sheep of his pasture. And we see that in Psalm 79, verse 13, "But we are your people, the sheep of your pasture. We'll give thanks to you forever. From generation to generation, we will recount your praise." In Ezekiel 34, 30 and 31, "And they shall know that I am the Lord their God with them, and that they, the house of Israel, are my people, declares the Lord God. And you are my sheep, human sheep of my pasture. And I am your God, declares the Lord God." So when Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, I know them and they follow me," that's speaking to every believer. That means as believers, we hear his voice and we follow him. We just have to be tuned in to listen. Hebrews 13, verses 5 and 6, "Keep your life free from love of money and be content with what you have, for he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What can man do to me? I will never leave you nor forsake you." So we know he's with us all the time. That was something that he spoke to them back in the book of Joshua to the people of God. But they're pulling it out in Hebrews for all New Testament believers, a promise from the Lord that he will never leave us or forsake us. Think about Megan and I. When we're together, we communicate. It would be really weird if we went for weeks or months or years and just didn't talk to each other. We were with each other all the time. We went everywhere together. We hung out together all the time and we just didn't talk to each other. But when we think, oh, I don't hear from the voice of God, if he never leaves us or forsakes us, and you're thinking you don't hear his voice, what is that saying? Might it be saying that you're not recognizing or picking up? Do you realize how weird of a friendship it would be if any natural person were with you all the time and you just didn't hear them ever talk to you? Some people teach that you have to have this set aside prayer time where in that particular time you go into your prayer closet and you spend time talking with God. If he never leaves you or forsakes you, but the only time you're focused on talking to him is when you give this whole list of everything you want for however much time per day, and then you ignore him the rest of the day, that's not a quality relationship. God wants a quality relationship with each one of us. And that looks like him being with us and communicating with us and us communicating with him throughout the day, being aware of his presence in our lives, so that he can be communicating with us on an ongoing basis. And he is. We hear his voice. It's just a matter of us choosing to tune in. With a radio, you have to tune the dial to get to the frequency that you're looking for. And sometimes you get close to that frequency and you can kind of hear it, but you have to kind of dial it in real specifically in order to hear it clear and crisp. Same thing with the Lord. Sometimes we've got so much going on, so much static in our lives that we're not tuned in to hearing that still small voice. I shared last week the story of Elijah and the Lord coming to him as a quiet whisper. To me, that's how I found the Lord usually comes to me. It's a quiet whisper on the inside that's very easy to ignore, especially if I don't want to hear what it's saying.
I had something with that scripture that he will never leave you or forsake you. I go through these, and I don't think it's just me. I think everybody goes through these phases where you feel like you're hearing God really clearly, and you're just like in this flow, and it's really awesome, and you're just like, oh yeah, my life is so good right now, because you're picking up the presence of the Lord. It's so frustrating to have those moments, and then all of a sudden, the light switch went off, and I'm like, where did you go, Lord? I know you didn't leave me because we have that promise, and his word is exalted above his name. I mean, his word is sure. So I know that I have that promise. It was like that light switch was flipped off. And then Tim gave me this picture or this illustration. And he's like, okay, so see you and the Holy Spirit, you and Jesus sitting in a room talking. And if somebody just comes up and flips off the switch, does that mean he left? Is he still in the same place that he was just a moment ago? I wasn't experiencing the peace, the joy that I had been. I knew it was there, but I wasn't experiencing it. That illustration of the light being turned out, it's like, did Jesus go anywhere? And it's like, no, he didn't. It's just that feeling of, oh, I can't see you. It's really important not to allow our feelings to get in the way of the Lord speaking up to us, because that is a big thing that does keep us from hearing that still small voice clearly, because he didn't go anywhere. Jesus didn't go anywhere. I think that picture, that illustration was really good.
That's good. Psalm 139, verses 1 through 18. I chose this because it talks about how well God knows us and how much he cares about us. And he's so intimately acquainted with us. And the reason I bring this out, as you hear me read this, I want you to be thinking about the fact, because God knows us this well, it should be no surprise that he's willing to talk to us about whatever, whenever. Having a conversation with God about little things is okay. There's nothing too small in your life, no concern, no thought, no worry, no anything that you can't talk with God about and that he cares. He is an amazing listener when you are sharing your heart because he knows your heart. Now, there are times he'll check my heart like, okay, look, no, and want to adjust. He doesn't want to just listen to us whine and complain. He will continually encourage us to focus on truth. Now, we can bring that to him, but the key is it's not beneficial for us. Now, that doesn't mean we don't unload our burdens on him. We absolutely should. We should not carry any cares. We should be casting all of our cares on him. But when it just sounds like a gripe session, make sure you're realizing you are casting your cares on the God that is able to give you wisdom and will help you walk through whatever you're going through. So don't bring it to him as an impossibility, like, God, I know you can't even handle all this. Bring it to him like, God, I'm feeling this pressure and I know you can handle this and you can help me. You are a big God. And I thank you that you help me see how small these problems are in light of how big you are. And then you let him know what they are so that he can give you solutions and wisdom and direction on it so you're not carrying those burdens and those cares. The key here is Psalm 139. He knows us so well. O Lord, you have searched me and know me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down. You are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it all together. You hem me in behind and before. You lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. Where shall I go from your spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost part of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, and the light about me be night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is bright as the day. For darkness is as light with you. For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance, and your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God! How vast is the sum of them! If I would count them, they are more than the sand. I awake, and I'm still with you. You know, in light of what Megan just shared regarding the light being out, the darkness is light to him. He sees us even if we can't see. I had a thought this morning that it's not unknown to God. While something may be unknown to us, I'm going to start using the terminology, the God known. We get to go into the God known. God knows our future. He knows what lies before us. We get to trust him with our lives as we travel into the God known, remembering that it may be unknown to us, but it is known to God. So his leading and his guiding is with all knowledge and all wisdom. So his leading and his guiding is perfect. Now, that doesn't mean we always perfectly hear everything. That comes with growing and maturing and hearing the voice of the Lord. How precious are your thoughts, O God? How vast are the sum of them? If I would count them, they are more than the sand. I awake and I'm still with you. More than the sand. Guys, God thinks about us. His thoughts are more than the sand. Like, that is the truth of the word of God. That is beyond my comprehension at this point. I don't fully grasp how amazing that is. I have no idea how many kernels of sand there are in this earth, but God does. And his thoughts are more than the sand. We're not just talking about the beach sand. We're talking about the desert sand. It should be no surprise that God is willing to talk to us about all kinds of things throughout the day. Carry chit-chat with us and lead us and guide us. If you're not experiencing that, I want to encourage you, begin expecting, begin spending time in the Word. Speaking of the sand, back in 2015, towards the end of 2015, around December, we went on family vacation and we spent, it was either 3 weeks or a month in Florida. Right as we got down and got settled in, all hell broke loose in business. I had so much stuff hitting me those first few days of fires to put out and issues with business and things that popped up that it was really stressful. And it was really hard to be able to settle in and choose to enjoy where I was. We had a beachfront condo, beautiful beach view, and I had my office set up so I could see out the window and see the beach. But I was working long hours and feeling stressed with lots of pressure, lots of phone calls, lots of emails, lots of going back and forth on stuff and just feeling the weight and burden of work stuff, even while we were there as a family to enjoy the beautiful weather. And it was difficult. One evening, I don't remember how far into our trip, Megan encouraged me to go for a beach walk and spend some time with the Lord. And I went out late and I just started walking the beach and praying in the Spirit and just feeling the heaviness and started casting my care on the Lord. And what happened was as I cast the care on the Lord, envisioned me just thrown out in the ocean and just chose, I'm not going to carry this myself. Lord, I don't have all the answers. I'm feeling stressed out. I'm feeling the pressure. God, help me. Take it, Lord. Show me. Give me a solution. Show me what's going on. And the Lord started speaking to me. And it was one of the first times I started recognizing the inner voice of the Lord. That's the reason I share this story. And the Lord encouraged me, and I realized I was not living by faith. I was not living relying on the Lord's presence and power in my life. I was living based on my own strength, trying to figure it out myself. I wasn't spending the time in the Word that I should have been, and I wasn't spending the time communicating with Him. He was with me, but I wasn't focused on that relationship. And as a result, I was trying to do a whole lot of things in my own strength. And I got to a point where I'm like, Lord, I can't do this. I need your wisdom. I need to hear you. And he was there. And he was there all along. Just because I wasn't tapping into listening doesn't mean that he wasn't there with me the entire time, available for me to get wisdom from him for years that I wasn't properly tapping into. And I was being led by kingdom principles, but I was not listening to his voice and following his way. So I had to start making changes. But it came from quieting down all the noise of the world so that I could hear his voice. For a long time then, I thought that, oh, I can hear the voice of God when I'm at the beach. So going to the water somewhere became my, I can hear the voice of the Lord. Since then, what I've realized is I can hear the voice of the Lord anywhere, anytime. The key is I have to be listening. And what happened was the water was a happy place for me, if you will. It was a place that I felt peaceful. It was a place that I was able to quiet everything else going on outside and focus in on what he was saying, hear his voice. And that's the key. No matter where we're at, it doesn't have to be in a happy place, if you will, or a place where you find natural peace. Now, it can be, and certainly as you're learning to hear the voice of the Lord, if there is some place you can go quiet things, it makes it a lot easier to begin recognizing his voice. If you can choose to cast off the cares of this world, whatever pressures you're feeling, and choose to focus in on hearing his voice, that is absolute key.
Intentionality. It's being incredibly intentional, because the enemy will always make sure that there are distractions in every area of your life, no matter what. The enemy wants to make sure that you're not being intentional about hearing the Holy Spirit. Because when you're hearing the Holy Spirit, following him properly, I mean, that was the whole thing in the beginning in the Garden of Eden. Did God really say? You know, and that's, he's always just trying to question the voice of the Lord. And if you're hearing properly, and if you're, and so you have to be intentional and know, like you chose to do in that season.
Absolutely. 1 Peter 1:22 to 2:3. Having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart, since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers, and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And this word is good news that was preached to you. So put away all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. So first off, the word is imperishable seed. We know from Mark chapter 4 that our heart is the soil. The word goes in and produces. The word of God is so important to hearing the voice of God. When you're training yourself to hear the voice of God, the very best thing that you can be doing is putting the word of God into you. You don't even have to fully understand all that you're putting into you. But what you're doing is, as you're reading, as you're listening to the word and audio Bibles and reading the word, you're getting it into your heart so that the Holy Spirit can work with that imperishable seed. In chapter 2, verse 2, like newborn infants long for pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. We grow up in our understanding and knowledge of the Lord through the word. And when we're feeling a longing in our heart, we're feeling something lacking as believers, it's real easy to fall for the temptations of the enemy that want to fill that void in our lives with all kinds of noise, all kinds of stuff. Things to do, hobbies to run after, this, that, the other. In today's day and age, there's all kinds of stuff to watch on TV and on our phones and all kinds of stuff to take up our time and be a distraction from feeding our spirit, man, with the word of God. And when you starve yourself spiritually, it makes you weak spiritually. It makes you frail spiritually. And that makes it so it's much more difficult to walk out the plan of God for your life and to hear from God properly. Isaiah chapter 55, verses 6 through 12. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, that he may have compassion on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose, it shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. For you shall go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills before you shall break forth into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Couple things there. When God says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, declares the Lord. Who is he talking to? He's talking to the wicked. Let the wicked forsake his way, the unrighteous man his thoughts. So God's thoughts are not in line with the unrighteous thoughts of unbelievers. As believers, though, that's not the case. We are supposed to have the mind of Christ. We do have the mind of Christ. We are not supposed to be thinking things like the world thinks. We're not supposed to be taking cues from the world. The world does not have the thoughts of God. But we, as believers, shall go out in joy and be led forth in peace. His word doesn't return empty. It is powerful. It is imperishable seed. 1 Corinthians 13, 11 through 13. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. But when I became a man, I gave up childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. So now faith, hope, and love abide, these three. But the greatest of these is love. As we mature spiritually, it allows us to think like the Lord would think. It allows us to hear his voice clearly. It allows us to put away childish thinking, childish thoughts, childish ways, and choose to follow after the truth of the word, follow after who he is. How do we mature? We feed our spirit man with the word of God, the imperishable seed.
Well, a lot of people approach the word of God. The word of God is truth, and that's what Tim is setting the stage for, that this word of God, even if you're not hearing that small inner voice, this word of God is the foundation that hearing that small voice comes to. And a lot of people, as immature believers, are like, God, I need this. I want my life to look like this. And they kind of come to the word and they make the word meet their needs. But part of what Paul is talking about and part of that maturing process is when you say, no, this word is the final authority in my life. I'm going to stop trying to use it to get what I want and get what I need. And God does supply all of our needs. He talks about that. But part of that maturing process is saying, no, every time I come to this word, I'm laying myself aside. I'm not coming to it just wanting what I want. I'm saying, no, this word is transforming my life. I am going to live my life in obedience to this word. And thereby, when you're submitted to that, when the Holy Spirit begins to come into your life and correct you and speak those things, it's going to line up with truth. But our life, that's the part of the maturing process, is that we start saying, okay, this word is what dictates how I act, how I live, how I think. Yeah.
Talk about hearing the voice of the Lord on the inside. I have good news, though. If you're not quite there yet, he works with us. He says, my sheep hear my voice. We hear his voice. Now, we may not recognize it as his voice, but he can be persistent. Now, he's not screaming most of the time, at least for me, but there can be this persistence that you just can't shake something. And you're like, okay, I'm just going to go do this. And I have a story about that that shaped the course of my life. I'll tell you in a moment. Proverbs 16, verse 9 says, a man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. Psalm 37, 23 and 24 says, the steps of a man are established by the Lord when he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be cast headlong, for the Lord upholds his hand. The Lord leads and guides us, sometimes in interesting ways. There was a time in my life I was seeking the Lord. This is before Meg and I were married. I was seeking the Lord. I was following after him. I was believing God for some big things. And I did not have the level of maturity that I've grown to now. And the Lord loves to work with us wherever we're at. If you don't hear the voice of the Lord like I'm talking about today, that's not saying too bad. You have to hear him just like this. Go through the maturing process, which comes through getting in the Word of God. But wherever you're at, God can meet you and lead and guide you. So many years back, I was remodeling houses to get them fixed up and then sell them. So I was flipping houses. And I had a financial partner who put the money up for the houses. I did all the work and then we split the profits. So we had this house that we owned together. I was going out and working on it and remodeling it. And one morning, I was getting into work a little bit later and I was driving to work to get some painting done, get some stuff done on the house. And as I'm driving there, I had this unnatural craving for McDonald's. Now, I had been working on my eating and eating healthy and not really eating much fast food and really not eating much at any fast food place. But as I drove to work this day, I had this craving for McDonald's. I'm like, you know, it's 10:15. I'm going to wait until lunchtime anyway. I'll go at lunch. I'm going to push through, get some extra stuff done. I'm already getting a late start to the day. I'm not real happy about that, but I'm just going to push through. I'm going to do that. So I keep having this craving, like, I need McDonald's. I need McDonald's. I really need McDonald's. I'm like, okay, this is ridiculous. I'm not giving into the flesh. No, I'm not getting McDonald's. No, I'm not doing this. I get to the house, and as I'm walking to the door, I'm thinking, I need McDonald's. I need to go to McDonald's. I got to go to McDonald's. I got to get to McDonald's. I'm like, this is ridiculous. You know what? I don't know if I'm getting work done. I'm going to go to McDonald's. I mean, it was like 10, 15 minutes of just this, go to McDonald's, get to McDonald's. You got to have McDonald's. You need McDonald's. So weird. I've never had that again in my life. But at this particular time, it was absolute pressing that I just couldn't shake. Now, I didn't recognize the voice of the Lord at that time. I just recognized, I need McDonald's. I need McDonald's. I need McDonald's. And this is not a McDonald's commercial. But an absolute pressing that I need McDonald's. I got back in the car or turned the car. I don't remember if I was out of the car or not at this point. But either way, I'm like, I'm going to McDonald's. So I head to McDonald's and I'm going to go through the drive-thru. As I'm going to get in the drive-thru though, I see my business partner walking inside McDonald's. Now he had been out of town for several weeks on a vacation. And I didn't know he was back in town, but I saw him walking in by himself. I was like, oh, my friend's here. So I pull in, I park, and they go in. It's like, hey, how was your vacation? We start talking, and we end up sitting down, have lunch or brunch together. So we go to have brunch together. And as we're sitting there having brunch, he gets a phone call. And he takes the phone call, and he's talking. Yeah, we could see it tonight. That'd be great. Yeah, we'd love to come and see it. Okay, so what? So 6 o'clock tonight? Yep, we can be there at 6 o'clock to see the house. Thank you so much. He hangs up the phone. I say, so what was that all about? He says, oh, I drove by a house the other day. It was for sale and we kind of like to get it. It's a beautiful house. I think we'd like to buy the place. So that's the realtor that has the house listed. I'm going to go look at it. I said, oh, well, you know, I just got my real estate license so I can help sell our houses once we sell them. So I have my real estate license. I could show the house to you tonight. I can call them and let them know that I'm your realtor. And I can take you to see the house tonight and I can show it to you. And he goes, oh, absolutely. Here's the guy's number. Call him back and tell him you're my realtor and you're going to show me the house tonight. Thank you. That easy. So I get in the car. I call this guy back. Hi, my name's Tim Howe. I'm a licensed realtor with Solutions for Real Estate. And I was calling to let you know that this person is my client. I'm their real estate agent. I heard that they set up a showing with you, not through me. But I'm working with them, we're business partners, and I'm also their realtor, so I need to go ahead and be the one to schedule the showing and show it to them tonight. He's my client. He's like, all right, go ahead. I showed them one house. They didn't look at any other houses. They looked at that house. They liked that house. They bought that house, and I received a commission check of over $20,000 on that one house. That changed my life. And the reason it changed my life, I realized that I was chasing after money the wrong way. That there was a lot of money in sales and helping people find homes versus just doing the remodeling side of it. And what happened was I didn't see myself as good at one part of the business. I saw myself a certain way, and the Lord was trying to help break out the way I had a vision of myself. And that was the confidence boost that I needed to transform my life and be blessed in the process of helping others find and get what they're looking for, and in the process, having a much better life for myself and eventually my family. It was from that real estate that got me into real estate sales. I realized I was good at sales, which got me into insurance sales, which helped me build up residual income that's blessing my life even to this day. That happened. It wasn't through a craving of McDonald's. It was through the leading of the Lord that at the time I didn't recognize his voice. So I mistook his, you need to get to McDonald's. You need to get to McDonald's now. I mistook that as a food craving that was so unnatural that I finally just went. But you know what? God knew exactly how far in advance he needed to start prompting me to get me there at exactly the right moment. If I'd gone a half hour earlier or a half hour later, I would have missed it. God is specific. We can rest in the goodness of God in our life and trust in his hand of providence to be leading and guiding us. That being said, we still have to hear. We still have to obey. Could I have not gone? I absolutely believe I could have. Could I have chosen to just shove it down and not follow through and miss that life-changing moment? I believe I could have. But I praise God that I didn't, so that I was able to have a major prayer answered. But even more importantly, it changed the course of my life in a very positive way. And as I'm sharing some of these stories, I realize as I put together a few stories I'm going to share throughout this series, I'm sharing with you guys some of the real key pivotal points of hearing from the Lord. But praise God, that particular story didn't start by knowing his voice. It started by not understanding that it was his voice, but still following it because it came so, it wasn't demanding, but it was certainly repetitive and urgent. 2 Corinthians 11, 13 to 15. For such men are false apostles, deceitful workmen, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. So it is no surprise if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness. Their end will correspond to their deeds. Luke chapter 4, verses 9 through 13. This is speaking of Satan tempting Jesus. And he, Satan, took him, Jesus, to Jerusalem to set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. And Jesus answered him, it is said, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. And when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. What do those two scriptures have to do with hearing the voice of the Lord? They have to do with the fact that we need to know the word so that we know if it's the voice of the Lord or not. Because the enemy will come to people with lies disguised as truth, trying to get them to walk in disobedience to the Lord. Satan doesn't come with a pitchfork and horns. He doesn't come saying, I'm Satan, follow me. He comes disguised as an angel of light. He comes disguised as a false apostle, as a teacher, with a word from the Lord that doesn't line up with the word of God. Don't fall for it. And the way we keep ourselves from falling for it is by knowing the truth of the word. There is no substitute to knowing the truth of the word. It allows us to recognize the voice of the Lord versus the voice of the adversary, Satan. Satan will use scriptures and twist them against us. He did it to Jesus. And I believe that the Lord has this in there so we can understand that just because the enemy uses scripture doesn't make it the truth of the word. I want to talk about the conversation we had the one time when it came to that.
Yeah, we're talking about, okay, just because Satan quoted a scripture, which that scripture is in Psalm 91 is where that came from. Just because he quoted scripture, does that make it truth? Because Jesus also said in John 8:44.
I got it right here.
Yeah.
Jesus speaking, "You are of your father the devil, and your will is to do your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies."
Yeah, and that is a really important key to remembering all the and knowing the word of God, knowing like, okay, just because Satan spoke something that came from the word of God doesn't make it truth. And that's why Jesus came back with the other scripture that said, no, the word also says, do not tempt the Lord your God. You can't just pick and choose the word of God. And this goes back to the maturing process. You can't just pick and choose the word of God for whatever you feel like you need or you want in that moment. No, your life has to be conformed to this word because the enemy will use that against you. And it goes back to even Adam and Eve. Did God really say? That is what the enemy's key thing is, because if he can get us off the fullness of this word and the truth of this word, then he can have access to just mess our whole life up and the whole direction of our life up. So yeah, it's important. And that's why you're supposed to, when you're listening to outside sources that are teaching the word of God, it's vital that you search out that word. You don't just take it. I grew up taking, if I heard a pastor say it, or if I heard a leader say it, I ate it. I ingested it. You know, I took it as, oh, truth, because that person said it. But I realized, and God has had to help me go back and undo some things and relearn some things because I did that, because it is very important that a pastor, apostle, prophet, whoever, they're there to be an example to you of how to hear the voice of God, how to go to this word, to search out the scripture and the truth of scripture. But it is your responsibility before the Lord to go to this word and judge every single thing you hear. Even if you feel peace with what you're hearing, you still need the wisdom of the Holy Spirit to, yeah.
Don't take everything that we're teaching. If it doesn't line up with the word, don't ingest it. Don't choose to keep it. Because there's things that I say, and I'm learning the humility and going, ooh, yeah, I said that. That's not what I meant, but it came out that way. So it's important that as we say things and as we go, I know as a teacher for myself, I'm feeling the weightiness of knowing it's important that as listeners, you're allowing the Holy Spirit to implant the seed in your heart that's supposed to grow. And anything that's spoken that I misspeak, speak by accident, or use something in ignorance, I don't want you receiving that. But the only way that you can know that is if you go to the scriptures yourself to judge, is what we're teaching, is what any teacher's teaching in line with the word of God. The word of God is our firm foundation and is what we build our lives on and is what we go to. In Acts chapter 17, 10 and 11, we see this. It says, "The brothers immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. And when they arrived, they went into the Jewish synagogue. Now these Jews were more noble than those in Thessalonica. They received the word with all eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. Many of them therefore believed, and not a few Greek women of high standing as well as men." What were they doing? They were taking the message that was being preached to them, and they were going to the scriptures to see if the message that was preached to them lined up with the truth of the word. That's what we're all supposed to be doing as believers. We're supposed to go back to the truth. Jesus said in John 14, verse 25 to 27, "These things I have spoken to you while I'm still with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let them be afraid." Bring to our remembrance everything that he said. That's what he told his disciples. How many of you guys are disciples of Christ? I'm a disciple of Christ. If we're going to allow the Holy Spirit to bring something to remembrance, do you know what that means? It means we have to have heard it first. We have to have known it first. We have to know the word. It's easy to forget that the disciples that he was speaking to lived with Jesus. They traveled with him. They listened to him teach. They recorded some of what he taught, but I know there's a whole lot more that he said because, the end of John, he said, look, if everything were written, there aren't enough books in the world to contain everything that was done. So the demonstration, the teaching, the training, the preaching, all of it, so much more than what was written down. They got to witness that and hear it and be a part of it. Look, us spending 30 minutes a week, an hour a week, coming to church, doing whatever, isn't cutting it. We've got to know the word. We have to spend time in the word. We have to be listening to the word, putting it in us, building our lives on that firm foundation. Again, even if we don't fully understand what we're reading, we put it in so the Holy Spirit can use it to help us understand things. The more word we have, the easier it is to judge if something that someone else said lined up with the truth of the word.
Right.
And when you listen to large passages or read large passages, whole books at a time, it allows you to have the full context of the verses in play so you're not pulling anything out of context. Megan, do you have anything else that you want to do before we wrap it up for the day? I want to leave it with the fact that it is so important that we are going to the scriptures because that is the primary way that God speaks to believers is through the word of God. And the more we build on this word, I'm going to keep building on this next week, keep going into this, the fact that the more scripture we understand, the more the word we put in us, the more we can hear the voice, understand the voice of God and recognize the voice of God and discern whether or not it's the Lord talking to us or the voice of the enemy. Because see, the adversary's voice opposes the truth of the word. So when something, we have a thought that goes contrary or against the truth of the word, it could just be an unregenerated thought that we're having, but it could also be a lie of the enemy. And either one, whatever it is, we cast it down. This goes back to the scripture I shared last week about taking every thought captive to bring it to obedience to the truth. So every thought that comes into our mind, what do you do when you take something captive? You grab it. You have it captive so you can interrogate that thought and decide, is this a thought from the Lord? Is this a thought that stays or a thought that we tear down? Are we going to demolish this stronghold? We've got to do that, but we do that when we know the word because the word is what everything is judged by. It is a foundation. So if it doesn't line up with the truth of the word, out it goes. We don't allow thoughts to stick around that don't line up with the truth.
Yeah, well, I kind of feel in my heart like just need to mention, we're not telling you that you don't trust. Because it's easy, as we were talking, I was like, oh, we don't want to not trust people God has placed in authority. But we have to understand that we're growing too. We're all growing from glory to glory, from developing our faith and growing and maturing in our faith. And so we're not saying like, oh my gosh, I don't trust anybody I hear. I only go to the word. Because there are people who kind of have that mentality, and that's unhealthy too. God established leadership in his body.
Absolutely.
What we're saying, there's a terminology that I grew up hearing saying, eat the meat and then you spit out the bones. So like if you prepare a chicken, like I'll make chicken thighs for dinner and they're really yummy, but I do the ones with the bone in them because they turn out juicier. Now that's an interesting key too. They turn out juicier. Sometimes having our humanity makes it real to people and it makes it more like, oh yeah, I can relate to this. But you don't you just take our example. You know, we're supposed to be examples. It doesn't mean you doubt. It doesn't mean you are cynical of people. It just means it doesn't get you out of your responsibility before the Lord to search out this word and know. Leaders are supposed to push you towards the word. And that's another good way to know if something is the Lord or not. Are they saying, just listen to me, listen to what I have to offer, versus you need to go to the word, and they're pushing you closer to the Lord. That's an important key. The enemy always wants to draw us away from the word, but we need to be planted and rooted in the word. So that was something I just thought that
my goal is to be a trustworthy teacher of the word. That is my heart and my desire. So you can just build your lives on the firm foundation of the word as we continue to expand the truth of the word to you. Heavenly Father, I thank you for every single person who's had the opportunity to listen to this message. Lord, I thank you that each of us hears your voice. I thank you that we grow more confident as we spend time in your word, hearing your voice, listening for your leading and your guiding so that we can walk in obedience to you. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit. I thank you that we are aware of your presence in our lives throughout this coming week. We give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen.
This is Pastor Tim Howe. Thank you for listening. For additional resources to help you live an elite life, visit EliteLifeMinistries.com.